What's up, y'all? My name is Ian Edwards, and welcome to the Soccer Comic Rant. You can get this podcast at allthingscomedy.com, SoundCloud, iTunes, World Football Daily, Libsyn, and get at me on Twitter at Ian Edwards Comic. What else? Sponsor, onthevolleyapparel.com. I was rocking one of their sweatshirts yesterday. It's the Owl Kanye joint. It's dope. Everybody wanted to know where I got it. Strangers in the street. It's kind of weird, but that's how good I model clothes. You know what I'm saying? There's a little chuckle from Neil in the corner. It sounds
chuckling agreement.
Kind of haterish, but I'm used to it. When you're a male model and you look good in soccer wear, shit like that happens, you know? You just, like, everybody can't be butter, and it's a problem to them. So go to onthevolleyapparel.com. They have hoodies, sweatshirts, tees, tanks for men and females. And use my promo code, ComicRant, and you get 20% off. They have some fly, dope stuff. Check out the site. Hit up my boy Elvis, and he will lace you. And what up, Neil? Is our guest Neil Chakravarti, Chelsea fan, did not end the season trophyless.
That's true, but it kind of felt like that, though.
Nothing pleases this guy. Nothing. Never happy.
I don't know. It's not been great, and I'm trying to like not fall into the whole Arsenal mentality of being happy with FA Cup.
You won last season. You didn't win the season, but you won an FA Cup.
But it is bad. We don't have a manager, and we don't look like we're going to get one.
You don't not have a manager.
Yeah, Conte, we haven't. Like,
Conte is still the manager. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but it's like an open secret that he's not going to be there.
Mm-hmm. So this is like the Will Smith Jada breakup rumors where they're still together.
No. This is worse than that.
Everybody else is saying that they're... marriage is in jeopardy. I mean, what is going on at Chelsea with your manager?
Well, I mean, it is pretty clear that we are looking for a new manager. Right. And we lined up a few potential candidates. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as it has been with Chelsea last couple of years, we penny pinch all the way down. So there's this guy who was a prime target, Maurizio Sarri, the Napoli manager. And we wanted to get him, but he has a buyout clause of $8 million.
I wouldn't. Fuck that. Why? What has he won? He came second?
He came second, but he took a Napoli team which was not competing for the chair title.
They did look good. I think I saw them play Man City.
Man City, yeah. They looked good for the first 30 minutes, yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot he can do with like a bigger squad than Napoli, which Chelsea should have. You know, have ready for him. Mm-hmm. But it's weird. Now it looks like that deal is off.
Right.
So we're looking at, this guy, Laurent Blanc. Remember him?
Yeah, he won. He used to play for Chelsea, right?
No, he used to play for United.
He's French, right?
He's French. He won the World Cup. Yeah.
He won the World Cup and Europe.
And the Euro, yes.
Yeah, okay.
He was recently manager of PSG.
PSG, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's probably...
That's good for you guys.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, he hasn't managed in the last 2 years.
So?
That's always a telltale sign of somebody who's over the hill.
No, he's rested. What? You're making this up. what do you mean?
Which top manager do you know, like, takes a 2-year sabbatical in his...
Jupp Heynckes.
Yeah, but he is... Exactly. He is over the hill.
No, he won Bundesliga.
He won. He's not winning anymore.
He just won the Bundesliga.
But I mean, the Bundesliga, like, you know, anybody, Sam Allardyce can win the Bundesliga with Bayern.
No, Sam Allardyce couldn't. Sam Allardyce, like, they got rid of Ancelotti because they felt the players.
No, but he still won the Bundesliga.
Yeah, but the players got rid of him because they felt like he wasn't pushing them hard enough. That's their mentality over there.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, I disagree with you, bro. Sorry, man.
I don't know.
With 9 days, 14 hours, and 30 minutes, and 18 seconds left in the World Cup, till the World Cup, I disagree with you.
Yeah, I think that'll be a good distraction. The more I think about Chelsea, it kind of like, it's like, I, you know, and like LeBron James looking at J.R. Smith, that's exactly what the whole Chelsea fan
base. But you shouldn't be. Like, LeBron James has a legit reason
to look at J.R. Smith.
You know, you don't.
You do.
You don't. Like, are you like this in relationships or with your job? Like,
no, I'm pretty happy. I'm not asking. I'm not. So all I want, I don't even want people to spend money or anything. I just want them to do, like, logically what's the right thing, you know?
And what's
like,
that?
Don't create problems for yourself. Like, I mean, if you have a target, don't worry about 8 million. What is 8 million in today's market?
I wouldn't pay it. First of all, managers with a buyout clause, fuck that shit.
But I mean, if you think about it, they're probably more important than any single player.
Nah, because Chelsea's had, your most important manager is always Mourinho, whether he's there or not. Because when he leaves, he sets you guys up. To still be in a position,
I don't think.
When he leaves,
I agree.
Man United,
the first time
we will be stronger, you know. And if, especially if he gets these targets, in you know, before the World Cup or even after. So and Real Madrid, if they win, no matter the manager is important, but the players that manager gets to play with are important, you know. So Real can win, you know. Ancelotti was there, and he won, and Mourinho was there, and he won, and Zidane comes in, and he won, and Barca changes coaches all the time, and coaches win. So
yeah, but, I mean,
what are you saying? It's this?
No, but if you have a strong core set of players, that's what Chelsea also did. Like after we went through like 8 managers in 8 years, right? Because we had that strong core of players.
Who set those up?
Mourinho. I completely agree.
Yeah.
Jose Mourinho 1.0 at Chelsea was the biggest reason.
He still
why
is.
We've,
he
I
still
don't think
is.
The, in the second you
what?
Know, when he came back second time, I think you can argue both sides with he did harm and or good.
He did good. He set you up.
He did good, but you can. There's also an argument to be had, like about the harm he did, where the team kind of stagnated.
For 1 year, for half of one year.
Like there's a lot of players that the team's philosophy and the board's philosophy is going one way, mm-hmm. and Mourinho is going the other way, and that whole friction is where we lost out on De Bruyne, Salah, this guy.
Salah didn't get good until he came back from Roma.
Yeah, but like the thing was,
even Roma sold him
on loan, and then you don't even like look at him, which is kind
he on loan at loan?
Yes, he went on loan first to Fiorentina,
right?
And then from Fiorentina, he went to Roma,
right?
And then we sold him to Roma, basically.
Is he not? Listen, even Alex Ferguson made huge mistakes with PK, you know.
Yeah.
And Pogba. So it just happens,
no,
man.
I get it, but my point is like that's the reason I'm saying that you can argue both sides of that coin in his second stint.
The best people make huge mistakes, but their mentality causes them to have big gains. You know?
Yeah, yeah. No, Jose Mourinho is a great manager. I'm not denying that. And he is. Yeah, he looks like he is setting United up for a couple of...
Do you know anything about this Fred from Shakhtar Donetsk?
No, but you know, funny thing was somebody said that he's Brazilian, right?
Yeah.
So when I heard that he's coming from the Brazilian Fred, mm-hmm. I thought about the other guy.
Yeah, I was worried. I was worried, bro.
I was like, I had to look.
Not the Fred I'm thinking about, because fuck that Fred. No offense,
exactly.
Fred, but...
I know Mourinho likes his players with experience, but this is a bridge too far.
It's a newer Fred. It's a new edition of Fred, a Brazilian that plays with Shakhtar Donetsk. So
I don't know a lot about him.
Right, I think we still own Depay.
Oh yeah. Is he on loan or is he? Yeah, because he had a great season too.
Yeah. He did have a great season. How do you, is it that's how you spell it?
Yeah.
Put this in. Let me see.
Oh, no, it says for Leon, so that means
best young
not.
Player in the world in 2000 France.
So he probably sold him.
But is he on loan at Leon?
No.
Which side are you looking at this
side? Otherwise they would say on loan from Manchester United.
Right. So did they have him?
I think they did sell him.
Let me see. Current team, Leon.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe he's gone. But I don't trust him in a Man U uniform anyway.
I've heard stuff about this proposed Martial for Willian swap.
For Willian?
Yeah.
I'd be into that, but Willian's like, what, 29?
Yeah, he's touching 30.
Yeah, so I'd keep Martial and let Martial develop.
Yeah, I wouldn't swap. Like, if I would take that as Chelsea, I think.
Yeah, I know you would. Because you don't like Willian.
I don't like Willian,
out of your mind.
Anyways.
Yeah. he's Chelsea Player of the Year.
Fine, the Players Player of the Year.
Players Player of the Year. So you're saying the players don't know what the fuck they talking about?
Dude, they just like the guy who likes parties around in the dressing room.
So what? They just like the guy.
Just like the guy who like fools around and stuff. Mm. But no, I mean, he had the second half of the season, he turned up. But it's just too much.
He what?
He turned up for the
turned up.
He
turned up.
He turned up.
No, like, but I was arguing with you that he's been turned up.
No,
realized it.
No,
and then when he turned up, Conte's like, I don't need you starting on my team. What was that all about?
Oh yeah, because he wanted to play the three midfielders. So. Conte did a lot of, like, I didn't agree with a lot of things Conte did this whole season, which is why I'm not that unhappy about losing out on somebody like Conte, who's actually, you know, he's a winner. He wins a lot of things, but he made a lot of mistakes because he wanted to play three midfielders, but then we never bought any midfield. We don't have quality in midfield. Mm-hmm. So why do you want to add the extra burden of for another midfielder when there's just not, just because you like to play a certain way when there's the you don't have the people to play it.
Well, let's there's a lot of interesting things going on in football. Let's discuss Champions League a little bit.
Yeah.
And what do you think of the game, the final?
Well, here's the thing. What happened was I saw the whole final except for 15 minutes right after halftime.
So you've had time though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I saw it, so I missed the where the whole game changed. So, I come back and I'm like, well, 2-1, that sounds fair. But then I missed the goals. So
you never got to see them later on?
I saw them later on.
Oh, okay.
And so I have like two very close buddies who are like proper Liverpool fans.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like completely horrified, and I was like, why are you so like, it's okay, you lost to Madrid in the final, because I hadn't seen the goal, the Karius mistake.
Oh, the Karius.
By then,
the Karius mistakes of, is it Laurius Karius?
Laurius Karius.
Laurius Karius, yeah.
I think he should have been subbed the moment that happened. You take him out. That's like an injury. You should treat that as a mental injury, which there's no coming back from.
From the first mistake?
Yeah, from the first mistake. Like it was so bad. Like, I don't think you can stay on the pitch and not keep thinking about it.
Yeah, if you take him off, he's done forever. And you chose him over, what's the guy they chose him over?
Simon Mignolet.
Mignolet, who you claim is the Mr. Mistake. Did Mignolet touch him before he went on the field?
No.
And the Mignolet touch.
Yeah, they probably had goalkeeping. You know how they have the goalkeeping drills, like the whole three goalkeepers.
And did he like mistakenly take Mignolet's gloves?
Yeah,
and
probably
go on the field with it. That's the irony that you said, Mignolet, you are done. You made too many mistakes.
Yeah,
we're gonna go with Karius, and then Karius goes into your biggest game and makes Mignolet size mistakes. And that's crazy. Yeah, but yeah, you know the games happen like a week and a half ago now, maybe 2 weeks. And
2 weeks, yeah.
It's fucking, yeah. I thought Liverpool could pull it off, but, you know, but certain things had to happen, and those certain things didn't happen. I figured they could definitely score on Real Madrid. I like their attack better, but, you know, Real Madrid showed
But that's
better defensive restraint. And then I think Liverpool falls apart
when something goes, when something goes wrong.
Because I mentioned that when they lost Mane in a game early in the season to Man City, and then they got blown off the court.
Oh yeah, they lost 4-0.
Right. And I was like, that shouldn't have happened. I know they lost a man to a great, to a very exciting fireball of a team, but that shouldn't have happened, you know? And and in this one, you didn't lose a man, you lost the man.
Yeah.
It just, and then the goalkeeper just fell apart. It's like, what can the players do?
Yeah, I mean, and they were playing, you know, they were doing all the right things in the first 20, 25 minutes. But that's what I always felt like. If for Liverpool to win or even have a chance, they needed to score two goals in the first half, because that Madrid team after 60 minutes is something else. They just play at a different level. Like, you can't come back against them.
They would have had the chance if the third goal hadn't gone in.
Yeah, it'd be a one-goal game.
It would have been a one-goal game, but by the third mistake... The third goal would be in the second mistake. It's like, and then the second goal was just such a wonder goal.
Yeah,
like a cross, a perfectly good bad cross, because it's
a perfect Marcelo cross.
Yeah, it goes behind you, but so you're the only one who could get to it.
Yeah,
and yeah, things like that happen. Do you think that's the greatest goal in Champions League history?
Possibly, like, considering the, you know, the I mean, obviously the Zidane goal, the Zidane Bayer Leverkusen goal.
Was that a finals goal?
Yeah, that was a final too. Mm. So because it's a final, you know, these two kind of like are going to be above everything else. But my, always when I look at great goals, I don't like the goals that are like so low percentage, you know, like just one connection. It could easily go wrong, right? I like the goals which are like, where you dribble past five or six players and then, you know, shoot it in. I don't like the just the one contact goal.
I'm not saying it is, but I do disagree with your philosophy. Like, I like those goals too. I just like great goals, whether it's a team built up goal, or one man dribbles through the entire team and scores.
Yeah.
Or a goal like Bale scored, I think.
No, so my point with that Bale goal is those kind of goals, I've seen even Andy Carroll goal score, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So anybody can score those goals is my point.
Yeah, but Andy Carroll would have never scored that shit in a final.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have reached the final. But
yeah, exactly. And then especially a player who's kind of been marginalized by the team.
Like Bale.
Yeah, like Bale. So this whole Real Madrid thing is weird, because Bale's statement at the end of the game was, I'm looking to go somewhere else because I need playing time.
Yeah.
And then Ronaldo's like, what do you say? I'm out of here?
Yeah, he kind of said that.
And then Zidane is like,
I'm actually out of here.
I'm actually out of here. So it's like, why do they want to be? Is it is it Perez? Is this a Perez thing? Like,
I think with Zidane, it's just that he realized this team is at its peak, so you leave at the top. Like, you look at the average age, almost everybody is like touching 30 or past 30. I think he probably realized this is as good as it's going to get at Madrid.
Yeah, that's what Pep thought when he left Barcelona, but Barcelona stepped up his game under homeboy, and then they won the league again this year under somebody else.
Yeah, but I mean, I think he just didn't want to go through the hard, you know, it's kind of hard work of like rebuilding with new signings and stuff, because Ronaldo's almost going to go.
I think he left because they were threatening to fire him if he didn't win this anyway.
Oh, yeah, because otherwise they didn't win the league, so.
They didn't win the league, and it's like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Like, how dare you? How dare you say my job is in jeopardy after everything I've given you?
Right.
Like, if he didn't win this, he would have won 8 titles in 2.5 years. This makes 9. Yeah. And it's like, if my job can be so fragile, but that's the thing. That's the sad state of football now. Because Zidane is like magic. So anywhere he goes, people are going to expect this type of delivery. And if he doesn't, then they're going to be like, he don't got it.
You know, he only won because of Ronaldo and, you know, Bale and all these guys.
No, but listen, those guys didn't.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's what people are going to say if, you know, he can't do it.
I wouldn't say that. You're saying that. Who else is saying that? You said that.
I'm saying that's going to, because, you know, the same thing with Pep, right? After, when he was at Bayern, because he couldn't get past the semifinals of the Champions League. So that's the bar you set when you are at that level, right? Like, he pretty much had to leave Bayern because of that, because he couldn't take Bayern to the next level.
Maybe Bayern don't got it. Like, maybe there's something missing from Bayern's team.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. The thing missing is Messi, because everything
Messi
else is the
same. Messi can't get to the finals.
Yeah, like, Messi can't get to the finals now.
Either. So what's up with that? Like, because Messi hasn't been to the last three Champions League finals. So what's Messi missing? A Pep? It's just really competitive, and you can't be like,
yeah, you can't get there every time.
You can't get there every time. I just think that's what it is. And then, you know, like, to be honest, in preseason, I thought Real Madrid was the best team in the world, and they should have won La Liga. And I think they just rested on their laurels, and then they took themselves out of the running for that. But they did make up for it by winning the Champions League.
And the thing with La Liga, because it's become like this two-team league now, the margins are so... You can't, like, relax for a few weeks because nobody else can take down Barcelona. Mm-hmm. So if you are behind 10 points at the beginning of the league, that's it.
So what?
Like, if you're behind, like, 6 to 10 points at the beginning, like, in the first couple of months, there's no way you can... make that up.
Not with a Barcelona out there doing what they do.
Yeah, because they're, I mean, either ways, even if it is Barca and Madrid's position, because the other team is not going to lose points, because they're not that many good teams that can take points off the
front runner. It was actually this year. There was some, like, I think there was Atletico and there was somebody else. It might have been Villarreal, I think.
There was somebody else.
I'd have to look it up.
Well, didn't they like lose their last game 4-1 or something?
Who?
Barcelona, after they'd won the league.
Yeah. Which they didn't play Messi, which I think is a mistake because they had a chance to have an undefeated season.
Yeah.
And they didn't play Messi. And I would have went for that undefeated season. Like, shit like that doesn't happen. You know, it's limited in a lifetime. Messi's never done it. And he's like probably the greatest... are going to end his career as maybe the greatest La Liga player ever. And he's like, yeah, you play that game.
You think Messi needs to win the World Cup to be counted as the like the greatest?
Messi needs to win the World Cup to shut motherfuckers up. That's what he needs to win the World Cup for. You know?
Yeah.
Just so there's no more talk.
Yeah.
Like, you can't say shit.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
that's what
he
needs to win it for.
That's it.
That's what he needs to win it for. But besides that, I just think he's the best player I've ever seen.
Yeah, me too.
No question. Yeah, but they say you need this title, so that's what he needs to win it for.
At least the greatest. I mean, the thing with the World Cups is like with Pele and Maradona, that's what keeps coming up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, what was
Zidane,
really the level?
Yeah.
Zidane.
Xavi, Iniesta.
I think they've gone past these guys, though.
So what?
I think they've gone past the Zidane's, like Messi and Ronaldo.
Here's the thing. They have, but they haven't. Like, Messi and Ronaldo can't, they can always be pulled back to this group of
due to the World Cup?
Of Zidane's and they could be pulled back to the groups. Of who's in that group? Zidane.
The first Ronaldo.
The first Ronaldo. Unless they win a World Cup.
Win a World Cup. Yeah.
Then, because they've separated themselves club wise in a big way, but the World Cup, like that's the thing these guys have that they don't. So then those guys can use the World Cup as an argument to say I'm just as good as them.
Yeah, it's always going to be like, and I don't think it's going to happen in like Portugal, definitely not. I don't even think
Portugal
is that good.
Yeah, because they have Yeah, they got coaching issues, and they got they're definitely not defensively sound.
Yeah,
and I don't know about their build up play. I don't know about their hustle on the field, you know. And they have the perfect amount of scorers, but they can't get it together.
Yeah, so they never end up like scoring a lot of goals either. So,
I mean, they made it to the finals of last year's World
just
Cup,
barely
of the last World Cup 4 years ago.
Oh yeah, that one. Yeah.
So it's like, and they made it to,
like, they qualified for this one barely.
But they qualified for this one barely. So yeah, we'll see. They got Iceland in their first game.
That's actually the group of death, because it's Argentina, Iceland, Nigeria, I think what's the fourth team? The fourth team's also pretty good. Oh yeah, Croatia.
Oh, where is it?
Group D.
Group D. A, B, C. Why is this the group of death? Is Nigeria that good?
I think, like, you know, in terms of African teams,
they're always skillful, but
yeah,
like world ranking wise, like, where are they at?
Yeah, I don't think any of the African teams are great world ranking wise, but.
And why is Croatia got? Who they got? Who's on their squad? Let me see.
I think they've got this guy, the Savage guy.
Modric and Rakitic.
Rakitic, yeah.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if they were Czech or, yeah, so they.
Yeah, I keep getting, so I don't want to commit to.
Yeah, so I get that, but so they have midfield, because I saw them in the Euros 2 years ago, and it's like, oh, this is a good team, but they, you know.
But I think even Argentina, if you leave apart Messi, it's pretty much the same.
Yeah, so it's like you just have two world renowned guys, but it's not enough.
Yeah, like if you go through the. Go to the groups. So Group A, if you go to Group A,
so
let's see. So Group A has
Uruguay, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Egypt.
So I guess that's like,
is this the group of mediocre?
Yeah,
this is the group of mediocre, because they got a lot of groups of mediocre.
Yeah,
who do you think? All right, so that's Group One, right?
Uruguay. Uruguay and Russia goes through that. Just because, like, depending on how...
Who else does
Salah
Egypt
is.
Have besides Salah? And that's... They might
they
have
this guy, Elneny?
Elneny. Get the fuck out of here. If you're talking about
Salah and Elneny.
You're talking about Elneny of mythical, of non-mythical Arsenal fame? Non-fame? Yeah. Russia might have a tough time getting out a Group One.
Well, Saudi Arabia has always been the team which is like, they dominate Asia, but they never do anything in the World Cup.
So. Yeah, they're outclassed.
Yeah.
The only thing that makes them comfortable, Saudi Arabia is considered an African team?
No,
Asian team.
I know that because they beat India in the World Cup qualifiers.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Uruguay should definitely get out. I don't know. So it's between Russia and Egypt.
Yeah, probably. I don't know how. I think they're very dependent on Salah. So,
right. Yeah. So that's tough to call, because I don't know enough about. I know I saw Russia in some friendlies, and they did not get treated really friendly by the teams that play them. They got pounded.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. And maybe the home, historically, home advantage has always played a role.
The teams that beat them in the friendlies played them at home.
And Russia's home?
At Russia's home, because you're playing at home, because that's where all the games are going to be played. Yeah. So, yeah.
What, like, people don't they have like a 70,000 seater full of Russian fans?
Yeah, but they don't let them play, and they can't stop. Germany or whoever they played from scoring on them.
They
can cheer against it. Yeah. But yeah.
You remember like how South Korea was in 2002? They were not supposed to be anywhere near.
That happens to teams, you know, and even in the Olympics, like the country holding the Olympics, their team does better. Spain.
Russia can like do something with the referees and stuff. I wouldn't like
bribe them.
Well, you only need to bribe if there is a choice, right? Bribery involves choice. You put somebody in a hotel in downtown Moscow.
Right. Where are you going with this, Neil?
I mean, you don't need to bribe somebody if you can like jeopardize their life in any other way.
What do you mean?
I mean, you know,
they might. There's going to be Russian refs, right? So they might bribe a Russian ref in a game.
But I don't think a Russian
In a game three, if Russia needs to get out the group, and a Russian ref is reffing two teams, and Russia needs a decision that would help them qualify, then
probably
so I'd look out for that if I'm FIFA. Yeah, I'd watch that. Spain, Iran, Portugal.
Yeah, that's
Morocco.
I think it's gonna be Spain, Portugal from that.
Yeah, yeah, that should be a good game. Spain, Portugal.
Portugal, yeah.
Yeah, that should be a really good game.
They play very similar to each other.
Yeah, congrats to Iran for even making it.
Yeah. Iran's great, man. Iran always like you can like do anything to that country, but they always add the World Cup.
Yeah, they play soccer, man.
Yeah, put up a good showing.
Yeah, well, they're not war torn. Iraq is war torn.
Yeah, Iraq's war torn. Iran is like threatened to be war torn for like the last 20 years.
Yeah, but nuclear arm in Iran.
Yeah,
yeah. My bad. I get my and in Morocco.
I don't know anything about them.
Let me see. Let me click on them and see if any names pop up. Morocco impresses in World Cup. Tune-up beats Slovakia 2-1.
En-Nesyri.
Let me see if there's anything.
Oh, they're trying to bid for the World Cup.
No. Morocco is?
Yeah. You know, America's bidding, right? Like.
Yeah, yeah.
LA, basically.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. I'll go to those games for sure. Yeah, let's hope they get
Pasadena,
that.
Pasadena, yeah.
Yeah. Australia, France, Denmark, Peru.
I think that should be France.
France, all the way. France.
You might think Denmark, but Peru is playing like they play a really attractive brand of football.
Mm-hmm.
Like played out from the back, like pretty similar to what City and Napoli play.
Mm-hmm.
I saw one of their goals this week.
Who did they play?
You can actually, maybe you can look that goal up.
Pru Guerrero scores twice in a 3-0 win over Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, I think that's the goal. That's the game. Like one of their goals is like a sports center highlights package kind of goal.
Oh yeah, let me tell you something. If Peru beats Saudi Arabia 3-0, Saudi Arabia's got to suck. That's all I'm saying. This is what I deduce. This is the code.
But Peru, that I'm getting. By virtue of geographically being in South America, gets a leg up.
I mean, they qualify from a tough group.
Yeah,
right?
it's a tough federation to qualify from.
Yeah, yeah. And they, you know, shit.
Do you know what happened to the Peru captain?
No, what happened?
So he got banned for doing cocaine.
Oh, I think you go ahead. Yeah, I think I heard the story.
Yeah, so, and then I think because it's not performance enhancing or anything, I think there was a big campaign to allow him to play. And then they actually got the captains of the other teams in their group, like France, like Hugo Lloris, and who's the Spain captain? I don't know. And the Denmark captain to sign the petition and send it to FIFA saying to allow him to play. And then they actually did allow him to play.
Oh, so Swiss Supreme Court clears Peru captain Pablo Guerrero to play at World Cup. And then he scores twice.
Oh, he scored? Oh, I didn't see that.
In Saudi Arabia. All right. And so Saudi Arabia's like, hey man. But that's in a warm-up. All right, so that's what we gotta look out for. This guy, the snorter. Look out for the snorter in the Peru games.
I think it was cocaine. Let me see.
Yeah, I think it's cocaine too. Okay, I mean, it's Peru. What else would it be?
Yeah,
the drug of choice. Like, you don't choose cocaine in Peru. Cocaine chooses you. Yeah, he's doing.
I remember I was in Peru actually this time last 4 years back, right, during the 2014 World Cup.
Yeah, how was it?
It was great. We were doing the whole hike to Machu Picchu, but I spent like a couple of days in Cusco before going on the hike. And yeah, I was asking those players, and they were absolutely disgusted with their football team. I was like, "What is Peru anywhere close to like?"
So they sounded like you talking about Chelsea.
No, they sounded like me talking about, well, Chelsea, me talking about the Indian football team.
don't even discuss or expect anything from the Indian football team. How dare you?
Hey, we just beat Kenya 3-0 earlier today.
In a non-qualifier. Okay, yeah.
In a friendly. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's in a true friendly.
Yeah.
There are hardly any real friendlies that ever exist anymore, but that's a friendly.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
But one fun fact there was like the Indian football captain, Sunil Chhetri, he's playing his 100th game. He's the third highest goal scorer among active international footballers.
Yeah, because he's scoring in India.
Yeah, like in internationals, like beyond after Messi and Ronaldo.
Oh, yeah. What's his name?
Sunil Chhetri.
Is he good?
He's, I mean, at that level, he's a forward striker. He's pretty good. But yeah, he tried playing for the Kansas City Wizards.
Oh, shit.
He was on their squad for a whole season, but never got really a look.
Couldn't even make it into MLS?
No.
Damn, son.
So he had to go back.
Go back to India.
The funny thing was, like, I think this tournament they're playing after the first game, nobody came to watch the game in Mumbai. So he put out a video on Twitter, like, basically pleading to people, you know, if you think Indian football sucks, it's not fun to sit on the keyboard and type it out. Come to the stadium, say it to our face. Yeah. He was basically like, I got, you know how you, when you're starting out, you're asking your friends to come watch your shows.
Right.
That was
so India has like open mic football, international football matches, open mic night.
And it worked. Like match. The whole 50,000 seater stadium got sold out.
Right. That's hilarious. I do want to ask you a question. Peru, is Peru, never been there? So from your standpoint, is it a safe place to visit? Is it easy to get around?
It is.
Like, how is it?
I think, like, if you do all your bookings beforehand, I think it's because it's such a big touristy place,
right?
So the whole framework of catering to non-locals is very well
established.
So,
right.
Yeah,
the infrastructure of that is solid.
Yeah, yeah. We haven't stayed in the hostel.
Stayed in the hostel?
Yeah.
Right. And then how many days does it take to get to, what's it called? Machu Picchu? Machu Picchu, yeah.
So we did the 4-day hike, but there are other routes you can take depending on how much time you have. So in the 4-day hike, it was basically 3 days of actual hiking, and the 1 day you basically take a bus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they do, it's in the jungle?
Well, it's not exactly a jungle. It's more of mountains.
Mountains.
Yeah. And what they have is like, they call it the microclimate. So every like 3 hours of hiking, you encounter a different climate. So you it's like really hot and humid at one point. And then it's more for the, you know, the equatorial climate. And then you go closer to the peak, it's snowing.
Oh, it's not.
So that was really interesting. Like within 6-7 hours, we went through a whole range of weather patterns.
And did you hike with a group of strangers?
The bigger group of strangers, but like I had three friends with me.
Oh, yeah. Were there like any chance to hook up with anybody in the hiking group?
Probably, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Did anybody in the group hook up?
We had a party after we came on the base camp. And yeah, there was stuff happening there.
There's some Machu Picchu.
Yeah.
There. Did you see like monkeys come up to you on the route up there?
No, I didn't see monkeys, but at some point there were these llamas.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Were there any like let's say, like dangerous animals, or could you get eaten in the middle of the night?
No, but that's what I'm saying, right? Because they've been doing this for so long. Yeah, they've gotten rid of all the... but it does feel like you're just walking in the wilderness because mm-hmm. you're like a group of 10 people doing the hike mm-hmm. and there's nobody else to as far as... you can. And me and the guide were the ones... who stayed on their feet all the way through because mm-hmm. other people had to like use horses and mules at some point.
Oh, for real? How come? They got tired?
You just get tired because you're just hiking on a very... mm-hmm. and the hikes are very steep.
Right.
So for like 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
So...
I hope you enjoyed your vacation. Get a lot of rest.
And I was basically hiking in sweatpants.
Damn, man. All right, Group D.
Okay.
Actually some Peru stuff. So it's Croatia, Argentina. So that's tough. Nigeria, Iceland. So maybe this is the group. It's the group of death because of Croatia,
because
Argentina.
Because like everybody's kind of like closely. I don't think there's like.
And Iceland did really good in the World Cup, in the Euros.
In the Euros, yeah.
And Nigeria is a traditionally tough African team.
And they always do good against Argentina.
Yeah, because they go skill for skill.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they fancy themselves a South American style team.
Yeah.
Nigeria,
yeah.
But they just kind of lack discipline.
Yeah.
They need some, hate to say it, European discipline. You know? I remember one World Cup, the World Cup here, I think
94.
They had Italy beat and they started showing off.
Yeah. It was another one like with this guy.
Baggio.
Baggio, but no, the Nigerian guy, JJ Okocha.
Yeah, he might have been there.
Yeah.
He's so skillful, man.
Yeah.
And just like, yeah, just play around too much when you have to like keep driving the nails in the coffin till this whole tournament's over. You can't be like,
yeah.
So I guess it's a tough group. I guess it's a tough group. Group E, Brazil, Croatia, Switzerland.
Costa Rica.
I mean, my bad. Costa Rica.
Yeah, Switzerland.
Switzerland.
Serbia.
And Serbia.
I think Brazil and Serbia probably this one.
Why Serbia? What has Serbia done?
They have all these, the Savage and then Matic.
Okay.
And
everything you need to know about Serbia, that's going to be a video. So they got Matic.
They have a bunch of itches.
Yeah, those guys are usually very technical.
Dzeko.
Oh, they got Dzeko. Yeah, I think this is him right here.
Czech Republic.
No. Is this Dzeko right here?
No, that's
Kolarov. So they got Kolarov. But Kolarov is old.
But he's still fairly, you know, competent.
I don't know, bro.
It was a tough time in Champions League, Roma.
Let me see.
No key performers. That's not good.
They lost to Chile. Chile didn't even qualify.
Yeah.
Let me see. See if I can get a look at the Serbian squad.
Roster, maybe.
Roster. Where is it?
Oh, on the right-hand side.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Good call. Luka Jovic. Do you know him?
Mm-hmm. Oh, they have Ivanovic.
Ivanovic? Which Ivanovic is that?
Ivanovic. Branislav Ivanovic, the Chelsea guy. Ex-Chelsea guy.
What position did he play for Chelsea?
Oh, right back.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Where's he been? He was really good when he was good.
Yeah, yeah.
But when Chelsea fell apart last season, he got most of the blame for it.
Yeah.
He's the one that your boy bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Luis. He's at Zenit Petersburg.
Yeah, he was really good. But, yeah, he's not in his prime.
Yeah, he's not in his prime, but...
Who else we got? So, Matic. Luka Milosevic. I think I heard that name before.
Do you see something as you go through the roster?
All the Vicks?
Nah, like, look at the height.
Oh, yeah.
Like almost everybody's
6'3", 6'1". 5'11 is the shortest player.
The shortest guy.
Oh, shit. They're all 6'2".
Crazy. There's another 5'10 guy.
Yeah. They got a decent age range of players, early 20s to 30s, early 30s.
Maybe they are not. They're not. They don't look like as strong as I'd imagine them to be.
Nah, they just has one or two players, and when you, it's not that hard to get out of a European group to qualify for the World Cup. Look at England.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know about Serbia. Switzerland. They usually organize and they're a pain in the ass and they're defensive. They play like a Greece style football.
Yeah, yeah.
So they could be problem. And Costa Rica, they qualified over America and they could be difficult. Brazil definitely is going to just breeze
through
this group.
France have the best squads.
Who?
Brazil and France.
Brazil, France, Germany, Spain. Best squads. Spain's back, yo. They got Isco.
They got Isco, Asensio, and... I still feel they have a few holes.
I think they figured out and they kind of clogged them. Let's go. Let's see Spain. Well, are they in the next group that we're going to?
No, we went past Spain.
Let's go up to Spain. I just assumed that they were dope. But let's go Spain. Let's go roster. Let's see the squad. So they got Thiago Alcantara.
Oh yeah, that guy's great.
Marco Asensio, Iago Aspa.
Yeah, then they're going to play Busquets.
They got Busquets. Azpilicueta, you boy.
Yeah.
Danny Carvajal, Diego Costa, De Gea. Who are they going to start, De Gea?
Oh, they have to.
Iniesta, the last rodeo. Isco, Koke from Atletico Madrid, Nacho Monreal. Then they got regular Nacho. Right? They got Pique, Sergio.
So this is the thing where they didn't pick Morata and they went with Rodrigo instead. Mm. Rodrigo and Iago Aspas.
Mm.
And of course, that's because Morata hasn't been any good for the last 6 months, but he was really good for them in qualifying.
Yeah, I would have picked him. I would have blamed it on Conte. Like, you're not happy with Conte. Chelsea's not happy with Conte. So why would you trust the coach who the whole nation of that team is unhappy with?
Yeah, but...
Why wouldn't you pick the player?
But with Justin Morata's case,
mm-hmm.
I feel it's
justified.
More to the dude. Like, his problem has been finished. He's actually been really good in everything other than scoring the goal. Like his movement, his finding spaces, linking up play with Hazard. He's been pretty good. And even creating the chances that
he scored for you guys against Liverpool, right? That was the end of the season, didn't he?
No, that was not him.
Didn't he create it?
Liverpool was a Hazard goal. No, Hazard didn't score the goal. Hazard created it for Giroud.
And
Giroud scored it.
Okay.
But I mean...
Spain also has David Silva, just to throw that in, and that's devastating.
Morata's problem is the finishing. Like, I don't even know what's the solution for that. He just has to practice more, I guess.
How old is Morata?
He's 25.
I think next year is his year.
Yeah, but I don't know if you're going to stick with him another year. We can't afford to
If you guys want another De Bruyne and Salah situation on your hands, go ahead, get rid of him. Go ahead, see what happens.
But, I mean, it's just too risky to go into another season without a clinical striker. So my point is, pick one of Morata and Michy Batshuayi, stick with them and throw the other guy out.
Mm. All right.
And get somebody else.
Keep one as a backup. Why can't you keep one as a backup?
Because you already have Giroud. You can't have four strikers. So we have three right now. So if somebody has to come in, one has to leave.
No, I guess. I mean, if you want to make rules like that, fine.
No, but we're always going to be playing only one striker. So you don't want four strikers.
You don't know that because you don't know who the coach is going to be and what his style is going to be.
Typically, the people we're looking at are people who play like a 4-3-3.
So they're going to keep the same style.
Staff, backroom staff?
Style.
Style, yeah. No, not the same style as Conte, but like... They all seem to have like the same style, like Sarri, Blanc, then this guy Djokanovic from Fulham.
But what's your 4-4-3? Because Liverpool plays 4-4-3, but they But they all score, right?
Yeah. So
then, and then there's teams that play that, but the players score more than other teams in that player three.
Yeah, I think the scoring has to come from the way that the manager sets them up.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So look how Man City's players. Score from all over. So it's like.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like what. It depends. If you get somebody these guys, right? Sarri, we can do something like that. I would ideally want a striker who's clinical, like a Lewandowski or a Icardi. And then...
Are you trying to get Lewandowski?
Yeah. It seems like he's on the market.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
See how he does it. Try to get him before...
the World Cup.
Lights up the World Cup.
But I think that's what's going to happen. We're going to be linked to him. And then and we're going to lowball our bid. And then we're eventually going to end up with
Do you guys have money? Why are you lowballing people? What's going
on? That's just how the board has become. I don't know. It's not even a...
They've become financially responsible?
Well, it's not even... It's actually irresponsible because you penny pinch... You know how the whole thing of being penny wise and pound foolish? That's what the Chelsea board has become.
Are you sure? Because they just want an FA Cup and a British title.
By penny pinching over the summer, they lost out on Champions League, and that money is way more than the money they tried to save on players.
I don't know. I mean, it was just tough to get in the Champions League this year.
I mean, I'm
sure you could have got in with a player or two. Just don't give up Matic. Don't give up Matic. That's really what you were missing.
No,
because who did you replace him with?
Bakayoko.
Was he good enough to be?
He wasn't good enough. But my point was, I didn't have a problem selling Matic because we wanted to take our team to the next level after winning the league. And Matic is the kind of player who's he's really good at his job, but he's just about competent. He's not gonna. He's at his.
Disagree.
He's done what he's got to do. He's not gonna add more.
But you need that. Aspects. You can't ignore that as a. That's like saying Busquets does what he's going to do. We're just going to try to take it to the next level.
No, but Busquets is at the. So Busquets. So Kante is already doing that for Chelsea. The DM, ball-winning DM, and spraying passes around. Kante is already doing that. I'm saying you don't need two of those players playing in the 11.
You do because now you didn't, and you didn't even qualify for the Champions
League. That's because our replacement, we were not wise with our replacement.
Fine. I just think...
I feel we should have gone for a more box-to-box kind of player because then you have a box-to-box midfielder.
What's his name?
Bakayoko. No, he wasn't. So that's my point. If Conte actually thinks he bought a box-to-box player...
I think he did think that.
Yeah, so then I have a major issue with that. Right. Because he doesn't
And that's why Morata should play, because Conte makes mistakes like that.
Yeah, you got rid of Costa and took Morata.
Yeah, that's why Morata should play for Spain. Did we do this group F yet?
No, this seems pretty clear. Germany and...
Mexico, Germany, Korea Republic, Sweden. What, you don't think the Korea Republic is going through, bro? You want to sleep on them?
Yeah. This.
Don't they got Sun?
They got, Sun and... but I don't know.
Let me see.
Anybody else, though?
Let me see. I think they got some guy from Swansea.
The teams from Asia are always...
Let me go to roster. Well... Let me go roster up here.
They might have the odd good game.
Or the odd good player.
Odd good player. But yeah, I mean, which will translate to the odd good game, but not consistently going to compete.
Yeah, I'm not going to try to say any of these names because I might get a racial, racial tweets.
Well, I mean, if you recognize any of these, maybe, but.
Not really.
Hominson, yeah, that's the only guy.
Yeah. Let's go back. So, let's see how much time we got left, because I definitely got to bounce around 6:30. So you got, you got to get to the Kill Tony and sign up. So, Mexico, Germany, Korea, Sweden. This is a tough group, because Sweden could be a problem. So Mexico might not get out of this group. We know Germany is. So there's only one spot left.
Yeah.
So say Korea Republic is not going to go anywhere. And if they do surprise you, then there's issues. But Mexico, is not a guarantee to get more points than Sweden.
Yeah, so I think this is pretty tough. Much very much on the same level.
Right. So that might be tough.
I think that's like a lot of groups are like that.
Yeah, yeah.
One outstanding team.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything else is up for grabs.
Yeah. England in the group G.
Yeah. Seems a pretty good group though.
For who?
For England and Belgium.
Right. Unless Panama balls out of control. Which yeah. that's completely possible. They might, you know.
And they might be the Iceland.
I don't trust England so far. Like,
I actually think England has a better chance this time than any other time in the last couple, two World Cups and two Euros.
Let me read their defense to you, and then that's what people aren't paying attention. This guy, Southgate, picked
Smalling and
Phil Jones. Didn't pick Smalling.
He picked
Jones over Smalling.
No, but I don't think even Jones is going to play.
Yeah, but you got Cahill there. Let's go through. Like, Smalling's the best defender in England, period.
Really? So
Over
Phil Stones?
Over Phil Jones,
John Stones?
John Stones doesn't start for Man City, and every time he has glaring mistakes. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's still young. He's going to make
so then he's
going to
be young in the World Cup. I think John Stones is a holding midfielder. That's what I think John Stones is. He's not a center half.
You know what's going to happen over the next 5-10 years? Every new young center back that's going to come up, we are going to think of them as holding midfielders because that's what the role is becoming. Ball playing center backs. They are going to be going a little more forward.
We have wing backs, but we don't have central defenders. And I think that's a problem with England. So we got wing backs, but I think we're going to play three
at the back.
Three at the back. So we'll have like a wing back compensating to help out.
But
Gary Cahill's old. We saw him having problems throughout the season.
But you know
so
what?
So you pick him over Smalling, that's a huge mistake.
I think Cahill got in. I'm not a big fan of Cahill, but
Phil
I think
Jones,
he got in.
Did you see the FA Cup final?
Yeah.
Okay. And I like Phil Jones. And that was actually a decent attempt. Like, Phil Jones is not, like, Southgate's excuses, they didn't use Smalling during qualifying. So he's using the defenders that are used to qualifying. I think they won 8 of their games or some shit like that.
Mm.
But still, I've seen Smalling play throughout the year, and he's a great anticipator, and he stops attacks when they're about to start. He gets in front of the pass to the forward and interrupts it, and then attack shut down. And he has great anticipation skills. That's what I noticed about him. He also used to be, I think, a right back. And when you're a right back, and you end up being a central defender, that means you have speed, you know? So, I mean, I think Phil Jones is good under Mourinho.
I think Jones and Harry Maguire will start.
Harry Maguire is like a block of ice with legs and arms. No athletic ability. And that's why you need Smalling, you know?
Going to get your athletic ability from these two guys, right? Danny Rose and Harry, what's his name? Kyle Walker.
Trippier. We have so many. How many defenders did he pick? Look at this. Let me show you how many defenders.
Ashley Young.
This is how many defenders Southgate picked. This is crazy. Does anybody else do this? Ashley Young. So you count. Ashley Young, 1. Kyle Walker, 2. Kieran Trippier, 3. John Stones, 4. Danny Rose, 5. Harry Maguire, 6. Phil Jones, 7. Fabian Delph, 8. Gary Cahill, 9th. Alexander Trent Arnold, 10. 10. How many midfielders you got?
Hey, is this the final 25?
Yeah, this is it. This is the roster, bro.
Oh, God.
Midfielders. Dele Alli, 1. Eric Dier, who's basically defensive midfielder. So that's 2. Jordan Henderson, 3. Defensive midfielder. Jesse Lingard, That's four. Loftus Cheek, I'm happy for him because I think he has a lot of skill. That's five.
That's it.
That's it. Forwards. Let me see. Danny Welbeck, get the fuck out of here.
Seriously.
Danny Welbeck. One. Jamie Vardy, good choice. Two. Sterling, three. Rashford. Mark, four. And go up to Harry Kane, five.
That's it.
You got 10 defenders, bro.
I didn't notice that actually.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So that's England. Let's just.
But I think if they can get their first 11 playing all games, like if everybody's fit, I think that's a pretty competent
team. It's decent. It's decent with a.
Like if you
a
have
a coach you don't trust. Coach that
no,
a coach that brought Millwall. You know, you hire coaches to promote teams, get teams promoted. You hire Southgate to get
Millwall demoted.
Yeah,
but you know the good thing is the England with Southgate.
I think it was Millwall.
The good thing with Southgate is he has been with all these group of players, like from the under-21s and stuff.
Have you seen
us play?
He
knows their game really well.
We just won. Let me see. We just won
Toulon.
A practice game,
Nigeria.
Was it Nigeria? Let me see.
England? Yeah, yesterday? Yeah.
Hold on a second.
England, Nigeria, 2-1.
Keep talking. What?
England, Nigeria.
England friendlies.
Yeah. Yeah, that one. That's the one. Yeah.
That's March. Am I? England, Nigeria, the Garden, one day ago. Taking point, friendly. All right.
So Cahill scored, which kind of means that he is going to start now. He was actually
Smalling could have scored that. Smalling helped us beat. Didn't he help us beat you guys? Or was it Arsenal? Or was it Liverpool? Or was it Man City?
No, Smalling's had a pretty good season.
Yeah, he's had a good season. So, yeah.
Especially if he had to pick one of Jones and Smalling.
What's England's coach name again?
Gareth Southgate.
Let me see if it was Millwall.
Coaching
career. So,
I just click on Wikipedia. Yeah,
this one.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's do this.
So, if you see in the right, that's Crystal. Middlesbrough,
not Millwall. Yeah. Middlesbrough. That's I knew it was Mill something. So Middlesbrough. Yeah, yeah. That's what he did.
He went straight from playing for them. To managing them.
You say managing, I say getting them demoted. But hey man, you know, we have different, you know,
definitions.
Different definitions of what coaching really is. Or what a manager is, you know. So you know.
Belgium's great.
So what?
Belgium's great.
Yeah. They're stacked. Yeah, and it's great. So I would put them after you name Brazil,
yeah,
Germany, France, Spain. Well, I'd actually bring France down to Belgium's level.
I mean...
And put Argentina in with this.
I think all these four teams
right.
have all positions covered.
Mm-hmm.
All aspects of their game covered. Now it's just about the manager making, you know, getting the team to play to their strengths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got Batshuayi.
Yeah, look at their attacking option like Lukaku, Batshuayi,
Yannick Carrasco. They got goalkeeping. They got De Bruyne, Moussa Dembele, very skilled. Fellaini made it. Hazard. They got. Is that Hazard's brother right here?
Yeah.
Thorgan?
Yeah.
How is he? 25?
He was also with us.
But did you guys loan him out?
No, we sold him with a buyback clause.
To where?
I think it's Werder Bremen or
he must have did good enough over there to. Or is it, yeah. Is Hazard is in that influences? I'm not going to the World Cup unless you bring my brother because he's 25 and
I don't think he can do that at the national team.
Adnan Januzaj, you guys took Belgium took Januzaj. I remember when we Jesus. I remember we yeah, like that's a shock. I didn't know he made the squad.
And you know who didn't make the squad?
Who? Yeah, I know. Let me guess. Who?
Raja Nainggolan. The guy with the fiery mohawk.
How come?
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of weird because I think he and now...
He plays for Napoli?
Roma.
Oh, Roma?
Yeah.
How come he didn't make the squad?
Yeah. So their coach says that Nainggolan is very good at one particular role.
And what's that?
The box-to-box. He's like, we don't play that way.
What?
Yeah.
So that means you don't get along with him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just weird.
Average age, 27 years old. That's the age of the team. Average height of the team, 6'1". Average weight, 175 pounds. 23 players. Youngest player is 21. Oldest is 32.
And aren't there like two Lukaku's too? Should be Lukaku's brother on here too.
I don't see it. But I guess what's his name didn't make the team from Crystal Palace. Because he had a terrible year.
Oh, Benteke.
Benteke. Let me see if he's there.
No, he's not here.
Yeah, so Benteke's not there.
Okay, so there is no second Lukaku for some reason. Jordan Lukaku.
Yeah, not on this team.
Yeah.
And let's run through the last one real quick because it's Group H, Colombia, Japan, Poland, Senegal. So I don't know how good Senegal is. Is Mane from Senegal?
Mane's from Senegal, yeah.
Let me see their roster real quick.
Oh, they haven't...
Is that Mane or Mame? Oh,
that's
Diouf Mame.
Oh, Koulibaly is from Senegal.
Yeah, I mean...
Sadio Mane.
You see him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so...
And then Moussa Sow.
Is he good?
I think he's pretty... He used to be good, too. So I don't know...
He's the old good?
Yeah,
He's old good.
But this guy, man...
Oh, there you go. He's from Idris. He's from Everton. Idris Gueye.
Yeah,
I mean, nah, there's no chance.
I feel like if they won at one point, if they ever have like an African All-Stars 11,
mm-hmm.
they can win the World Cup. Because I always see like every, like even Ivory Coast in past editions,
mm-hmm.
they have like a couple of positions, world-class players, but they don't have that depth all the way through.
Colombia and Poland should get out this group.
Colombia and Poland, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah, Colombia, definitely.
Yeah. And Poland should get out this group, out of Group H. Let's wrap this up because I got to go to this thing at 6:30. And I'm glad you made it. Have fun at Kill Tony. Hit me after. Maybe we'll grab something to eat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything you want to plug?
Not much. I'm doing something this weekend at the...
I'm doing something.
at the Knockout Brewery I've got in San Diego. This Friday night, and then doing the Comedy Palace the weekend after on the 16th, and then I got through the Ice House. I don't know if they call it like the audition.
Oh yeah,
yeah, they have like the monthly audition thing. So mm-hmm. I've got booked on a show there on July 8th.
Oh, okay, that's well. Congrats on that.
Thank you. So yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Oh, let me just say this. So Real Madrid came third in La Liga, and right behind them was Valencia.
Valencia.
And right behind, not right behind Valencia, but
yeah.
Like how many points, like 12 points off?
Yeah.
Was Villarreal. So Real Madrid could have came fourth, and Valencia could have slid in, and Atletico Madrid was ahead of them, and Barcelona ran away with it.
Yeah.
And then the Bundesliga, let me see. Bayern just, where's the point? I was just looking out. Here's Barcelona, just no chance. Schalke, second, like 21 points behind. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's why this league never really makes sense.
In League One, probably the same thing. In 93 points, Paris Saint-Germain, Monaco.
Much closer.
Much closer, 13.
Which is why my first option to get a new manager was the Monaco guy, Leonardo Jardim.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's going to make a big move in the next 1 or 2 years.
Maybe. And then let me see Syria.
Syria was the closest.
Yeah, because they're all like...
No, this is the closest it's been in a while.
That was close, I think, last year too.
No, not this close.
Yeah.
Like, this is the first time any team has hit 90 points and not won the league in Syria.
Napoli 91.
Yeah.
Damn, that's crazy. 95 for Juventus, who won, and then Roma's like right there. Yeah. 77. Not right there, but, you know, behind Inter, Lazio.
You know what happened with Inter and Lazio? So the last game of the season, I think Inter needed to win, or Lazio needed to win to go through to the Champions League, the number four spot. And they ended up conceding a penalty in the dying minutes or so. And so the other team, they scored it. And then Lazio went out. And the guy who conceded the penalty is the guy who's moving to Inter.
Moved to Inter, yeah. I heard that. So I was like... coincidence or not? Is that what they say in the Twilight Zone? I don't know. So we'll see. All right. So that's the wrap up. We're looking forward to the World Cup. We'll do another podcast next week at some point leading up to it. Talk more about it. See what's going on. This week, this is Monday, June 4th, right?
Yeah.
June 6th. June 6th through June 8th, which is Sunday, I'll be in Vegas at the Comedy Cellar in Vegas. It's in the Rio, so I'll be there.
Oh, that's a new room, right?
New room. So I'll be there at the Comedy Cellar in Rio. Two shows a night. I think it's 7 and 9 p.m. So check me out there. That's where I'm at this week. And so thanks for coming through, Neil.
Thank you.
And holla. What?
At Sarge Lawyer.
At Ian Edwards Comedy.